So, you don't understand Queef Core Monday, do you? Right?
I do not, sir. I do not.
Okay, well, you should know that Queef Core, first of all, is this group of, like, post-roots rock, late to mid-90s, all the way through the 2000s, kind of like emotional bro music, right? Like, it's all kind of bland. It's all this kind of, like, rhythmic guitar strumming. There's not a lot of riff, right? And it's all pretty literal. And it's all like really, if you want to know what Queefcore is, like Goo Goo Dolls, Matchbox 20, Train. That's
okay.
Like straight Queefcore. Like Queefcore, the pillars of Queefcore are those three bands.
Okay.
Okay. And so you won't even know like how exciting it is and how what a joy that everyone's getting on the Queefcore bandwagon. A proper appreciation of Queefcore for the Goo Goo Dolls to be playing the Orange Bowl on Queefcore Monday.
Oh, my Lord.
It's amazing.
That is impressive how the Orange Bowl and Queefcore Monday have synced up into this big, almost with the ACC. I think from my understanding of Queefcore, it sounds like the ACC and the Pac-10 have perfectly aligned themselves on a Monday night.
Listen, actually, number one, number two rankings of conferences by Queefcore, like compatibility, the most Queefcore conferences are, in fact, the ACC and the Pac-10. So,
I thought I had an understanding of that, and I said that to an SEC fan, and he just looked at me like I was crazy, and I didn't understand why. Like, I thought I understood Queefcore, and I was like, hey, man, we're Queefcore number one here, and it just didn't go over well. But I think I now understand why.
Well, it's entirely possible that an SEC fan might not understand what you're saying anyway. For any number of reasons. But that's just one of them, because I'm not saying it's an easy concept to grasp, right? You gotta get deep with it. You gotta really sit with the Queefcore for a while.
I think when I was in high school, all the Biggie Smalls and Tupac just ruined me and just turned me away from Queefcore before I even knew it was happening.
You're too street for Queefcore. That's your.
I think so. I think that's the problem.
straight out of Connecticut. Well, joining us on Queefcore Monday, Orange Bowl Monday here in the bowl season is Joe from the Key Play, who is a Virginia Tech fan who's currently in Miami. You were calling
Holler.
On location from the 305. Tell me, where did you decide to stay for Miami? Because if people, I want to discuss this because Miami really is one of the better destinations. You know, the whole idea for this is that you should have a destination for people to go to for a bowl game. And Miami is actually one of those. It is your first time in Miami, a beautiful place for horrible people. Where are you staying?
We are staying in the business district. So we're like about 5 miles north of South Beach. So we're like in the center of all the action. So we have... Our planning was we wanted to be, you know, co-located in the middle so we had access to all of what Miami had to offer.
And where did you end up going?
Last night we flew in and we got in pretty late. So last night we went to a dive bar, which was apparently the bars in Miami are open until 5 in the morning. So we ran a dive bar until about 4 o'clock in the morning, and then we went back to our hotel room. Tonight, after we beat Stanford, we're going to go into South Beach. This will be the South Beach, right?
Now, what dive bar did you go to? This is very important.
I wish I could remember, but I can't.
Was it Churchill's? Or was it Tobacco Road?
No, it was, what was the first one?
Churchill's?
No, it wasn't Churchill, but it was 2 blocks up from Tobacco Road.
Okay. So that's it. You're doing all right.
Hey, you know what? I heard so many bad things about Miami from people. And I have to say that people in Miami are, like, very, very, very friendly. Like, everyone we've met, the bartenders at the bar were awesome. The people that we bought our alcohol from at Publix were phenomenal. we went to a shoe store in Miami, like, the city of Miami was, like, CJ's Urban. Shout out to them. And they were awesome. Like, everyone has been really, really nice here in Miami.
This is our only podcast, which is going to feature a shout out to a shoe store in Miami.
They were running shoes back and forth from their attic all the way down for us to try on, like it was no one's business. And the guy was a Miami fan too, and he was like, he was rooting for Tech, so that was cool. And he was really invested in like why Ryan Williams might not play tonight because he has like a tweet to Tammy, and he was like, "Yo, is Williams gonna play?" And I was like, "Yeah, I think so." He's like, "Oh, I remember that run he had against you," and I was like, "Oh yeah, it was a pretty big run." He's like, "Yeah, he's a pretty, you know, he's a beast." So They were awesome, man. Everyone down here, it's a great city. Like, it's the first time I'm here, and it's unbelievable.
I will tell you, I'm simultaneously shocked and pleased that you're having a fine time in the 305. Give it time, though. You'll see something. You'll see. Like, when I was there for the national title game 2 years ago, we ran into a couple of Oklahoma fans. One, I've never seen people get prostitutes with such gusto. Oklahoma fans were the most prostituting people I've ever seen. Prostitute hungry. It was amazing.
See, everyone on Twitter has been like, every time someone said something about, like, I'm like, yeah, where should I go in Miami? People are like, cocaine, prostitutes. And I have not seen any of the negative sides of Miami yet. Like, all I've seen are, you know, beautiful grasses, nice trees, you know, really nice city. And, like, I guess we're not, you know, staying in the, you know, the Vice City parts of Miami. So I don't know. I mean, that's, I have not seen the evil side of Miami yet. Maybe tonight.
Oh, that's a shame. You will. The second thing that I remember was an Oklahoma fan who'd obviously gotten into a little too much Bolivian marching powder. And,
oh, my Lord.
And said, I can't find my boyfriend. Oh, my God, I'm so lost. We found her in the street just babbling incoherently to each other. And I thought, wow, if we hadn't gotten here, Dexter would have gotten here. Like, that's Dexter reference, Miami, obligatory. Let's go ahead and talk about the game. Have you seen any Stanford fans down there? Because I read that they had sold 9,000 tickets.
There are a surprising amount of Stanford fans here. I don't think the game is going to be a sellout. Like, I mean, you know, I guess the Rose Bowl was a sellout and the National Championship will be a sellout. I'm not sure, but I'm sure the Sugar Bowl will be close. But there are a surprising amount of Stanford fans here. It's probably the tailgate is the majority are Tech fans, but, you know, every four cars, there's a, you know, a family or a couple families or a group of Stanford fans. And they remind me a lot of UVA fans just from my brief interactions with them. I mean, they're well-polished people, which is, you know, that's fine. I mean, they're doing good. They roll around in, like, $60,000 cars, which is pretty good, which is awesome. And, you know, they're living it up here in Miami.
Somebody said that was because they own all the real estate. That's why they made it.
I'm sure that's a fair point to make, to be honest.
Got to check up on their holdings. The game tonight, I think, I mean, this is my initial reaction to looking at the matchup. I think it's going to be a very high-scoring game.
I agree.
Yeah, because that has seemed to be the MO. When things get going for Virginia Tech and they're in a competitive ball game this year, they stay in with their offense. It's a change from the normal Virginia Tech kind of MO.
I've watched, well, you know, the Virginia Tech MO starting from 08 into about the first half of 09, maybe at the start of this year, depending on how you look at it. I mean, we did put up 30 points on Boise State, and I'm sure that's, you know, I'm sure their season average is probably 17 points at this point. But regardless, I really think Stanford's offense is phenomenal. I mean, Andrew Luck is ridiculous, and better than Luck is their offensive line is unbelievable. I mean, you watch those guys, you know, they're like 6'4", 6'5", across the board. And they're unbelievably athletic. I mean, they pull out. They run a lot of backside. They pull their backside guard a lot and lead them around. And, I mean, this guy just gets out in space and just levels linebackers. I mean, that's his job, leveling linebackers. It's phenomenal to watch. But if you like good offensive line play, you'll really like watching them play on offense. But on the other hand, their defense isn't really good. I mean, they run a lot of a little 3-4. They switch it up to a 3-3-5 at some points. Defense is athletic, but they can't tackle worth anything. So I really agree with you in the fact that it's just going to be a touchdown to touchdown to field goal to touchdown type of game where, you know, I think it's going to be probably 30 points apiece going into the fourth quarter. I mean, it's going to be a high scorer, I think. I think it's going to be a great game to watch for people, too, which the ACC desperately needs. I mean, we need a game where we can have a team come out and show that we at least know what we're doing when we play a football game.
Yeah, I think, and you're so right about their offensive line play. Watch them tonight. There are so many situations that Stanford gets into where they end up matching a big dude on a smaller dude.
Oh, it's phenomenal on a safety. They get a lot of plays where they're pulling that backside guard, but they'll just down block, and you know, the safety will be up in a box, and that hurts us too because, I mean, we like to play close to the box, and, I mean, there's no way a safety is going to shed off a block of a guy who's, you know, three bills. I mean, it's just not happening. And the other thing about them from watching them is, you know, Luck, a lot of people just think he's a traditional, you know, drop back quarterback. The kid has legs. I mean, I would compare him a lot to almost Aaron Rodgers, like how he is now, because, I mean, he can scramble when he doesn't look to scramble, but if he has to scramble, he's going to move. And about once when they're in like a dicey situation, like in a third down, they won't throw the ball. They're going to run a little bit of an option, like a read option with Luck. And they hit home runs on that play every time. I mean, the games, the Arizona game, the Notre Dame game, the Oregon game, you watch that. I mean, they hit that play for like 11, 15, 20 yards at pop. And it's just unbelievable because they don't expect it. And even if they do expect it, you're so afraid of him, you know, throwing the ball because he's so great that they just hit it. He's a phenomenal quarterback. I mean, it's a really good game.
Yeah, they. I think it's the entertainment value after a number of sort of lackluster Orange Bowls over the past, you know,
five years or so.
You're going to see, I think, a really, really good matchup tonight. Even if Harbaugh's already gone to wherever.
Oh, I know. And that's the thing we were talking about today. You talk about a Stanford fan, right? And they're more of a, you know, Director's Cup school where they want to be good at all sports, you know, et cetera. And they have a guy that's just a punch-him-in-the-mouth guy, which it just doesn't fit. And, like, I don't know. Like, I'm not going to say their fans don't appreciate that or anything like that, but it's just really unique. Like, I mean, everyone talks about Harbaugh going to Michigan. I mean, it's like Harbaugh is just like a no-brainer, you know, to a fit at Michigan, just the type of coach he is. And it's just really amazing. And, what, he's been there, I think, 4 years, how he's turned around Stanford into this just really gritty, tough team.
Yeah, I mean, remember where they were. I mean, remember, we're talking about Walt Harris and Buddy Tevens. That's who your predecessors are at Stanford.
It's phenomenal. And I mean, like, I mean, when you...
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, it's, you know, just phenomenal where they've come from. And, you know, if they lose him, you have to assume they're just going to kind of slip a little back into, you know, slip down a couple notches. It's just like one of those blips on the radar where, you know, they're lucky enough to get a coach who, you know, right place, right time, you know, turned it up a notch and then, you know, went on to greener pastures or, you know, where he wants to go, you know, ultimately as a destination like Michigan.
That's true. And I would also ask, too, going into this game, is there any sort of, as far as, where are you right now?
Where am I right now, physically?
Yeah.
I'm in the East 32 lot.
The East 32 lot. Now that stadium is in the middle of nowhere. If you've been to if you've been to Miami, it's like on the edge of the Glades, basically.
It's right? My first time to Miami, but it is really like I scouted it out a little bit, and it's just it really is in the middle of nowhere. It's sad that they don't play this game. I wish they could have rebuilt the old Orange Bowl where it was because the old Orange Bowl was fantastic. And yeah, it's just in the middle of nowhere. So you can kind of see why Miami, the university, doesn't draw any fans to their games because it's just like, you know, you got a, you know, 15-minute car ride versus a walk on campus to the game. It's a no-brainer what's going to win out, you know, on Saturday.
Yeah, but I will say this. That tailgating environment, not bad. Not bad. It was really good for the national title game.
The people here, like I said earlier, are really nice. I mean, we talked to the lady, you know, a couple of ladies directing traffic, and they were like, you know, just have a good time, be a responsible type of thing. No one's going to bother you. Because a lot of times you go to a pro stadium or even college stadiums, I mean, they get on you about drinking. I know when I was up in Maryland for the Virginia Tech Maryland game a couple of years ago, I mean, they got on us about drinking, like, outside. It's like, you know, everyone on the field is going to drink. This is what goes on. And it's like, you know, if you're going to do it smart. But here, they're really nice people, very friendly, you know, really open areas, porta potties everywhere. You couldn't ask for a better tailgating environment. I mean, there's palm trees. Like, you know what I'm saying? How can it be bad with palm trees?
Well, you know what? Liberia has palm trees.